Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to strap our boots on. This is the perfect day to die. Wipe the blood out of our eyes. In this life, there's no surrender. There's nothing left for us to do. Find the strength to see this through. We are the ones who will never be broken. With our final breath, we'll fight to the death. We are soldiers, we are soldiers.
Logic, political talk, part of the growing conservative conversation. I'm glad you came in tonight, whether it's live or on the archives. I really appreciate it. You found this show on Blog Talk Radio, but you can also find other shows who are part of the conservative conversation on the webpage. And the way you can reach the Bard's Logic Political Talk webpage is through the homepage on Blog Talk Radio. Click it, and it will send you to the website. And on the About the Show website, if you scroll down, you will see a link that says to the Conservative Conversation. And you click on it, and it will send you to the page in which you will also see this show. But you will also see Samuel Sanford's show, which is every day from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m., and that is Eastern Time. And you can also find Charlotte Dively's show, Pray USA, from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. And you can see two installments of Mark Prasik's show, which is a live video chat, and that is from Monday through Friday, and it's at night, so it actually seems more like Monday night into Saturday morning. And that is from 10 p.m. to midnight, or midnight till 2 a.m., and all of those times are Eastern times. So I'd like to see if you would come in and check out the people in the Conservative Conversation. And I have someone here on the switchboard, but just to give a brief introduction to tonight's show. And tonight is about people have seen on the, or I've seen, I'm sure others have as well, that on the Facebook pages, there were all kinds of state Facebook pages for Newt Gingrich. And some of these groups are switching to, you know, the state name for Mitt Romney. Now, the first reaction would be, well, yeah, of course, right? Well, maybe. What this show is about tonight, this episode, is what those reasons behind the switch may be and how it might not be as apparent as one would think, especially in the recent events of what we have seen in London from Mitt Romney. So without further ado, I do not have a phone number or an area code here from the person online. So one of the rules that we have here is two rules, just be civil and no profanity, such as F-bombs or anything of that nature. So I will let the person in. We'll see what they've got to say. Hello, how are you tonight?
I'm fine, Robert Jenner. How are you? This is Barbara.
Hi, Barbara. How are you? Good. It's just I don't have the number here. That's all right.
That's fine. It's okay. I'm just a chick in the Arctic, you know. It's fine.
Oh, yeah.
I just Skype in.
Right.
So,
well,
anyway.
I'm used to your area code out there, so I didn't see it. But that's okay. But sometimes you call from Skype, and that's fine. How are you doing tonight, Barbara?
I'm doing all right. Actually, I've been... This issue is interesting to me, but it is more interesting to me when I consider the timing of the issue.
And let
me give you a little bit of background. Those groups were set up by a gentleman, those state groups you were talking about were set up originally by a gentleman. I think his name was Robert Stern, I think is his name.
I believe so.
And I always thought they were interesting because they were like state for Newt. And Newt always said, don't be for me, be with me. So
right,
I always
that's
thought
true.
Those groups were rather interesting. The fan pages were actually taken down a while back by the campaign, presumably because they were under attack by a particular Facebook group. And rather than dealing with it, they just shut down the fan pages. And that was a decision, I believe, by the remnant of New 2012. They also didn't have the staff to maintain them. I rather question that decision myself because there were plenty of volunteers who would do it. But at the same time, you know, that's whatever, okay? If they felt they needed staff to maintain them, well, you know, it's Newt's name, so I'm not going to question that, okay?
In contrast,
though, the groups that were shut down the other night, they were pretty much owned by Robert Stern. So it's, you know, I guess in some respects, he set them up, so I guess he can shut them down. They were not Newt's campaign pages. So they really kind of reflect a personal decision on the part of a particular individual. But the kind of part of me that's conflicted about this is when he set them up, the first thing he wanted to do was turn control of those groups over to the people in that state. So I was really rather taken back. I know that we took over the Alaskan page so that he did not have to be burdened with administering that. And the Alaskans got together and have now taken that page in a direction they would like to see. I don't know if the same opportunity was given to the other states. And that's the part that I find kind of questionable. I mean, you know, he owns them. And I, you know, I guess he owned them. So, you know, if he started them, he can take them down. But, you know, at the same time, if he was sincere in letting the people of that state take the page over in their direction, he should have actually perhaps considered turning those pages over to the people in that state, as he did in the case of Alaska. I mean, truth, that's the truth of the matter. Now, it just may be a faux pas of etiquette on his part. But what I find interesting is the timing. And here's why. It isn't just the faux pas that were going on in London. At the same time that this was going on, I was really not in a position to address it because there was an attack on the African Christian Protection League Facebook group. And what I find amazing is that the attack, with this conversion, if you will, of Newt's pages was timed with this attack on the African Christian Protection League by jihadists who are on Facebook. I mean, a lot of people don't realize that there are Islamic jihadists that are on Facebook, and they are using tools of attack. What they'll do is they'll get one person on a group, and then in the middle of the night, I know this because I'm a night admin, right? So as a night, I'm a night admin, tremendous number of groups that I never even comment on, but I am, because this is the typical MO when they want to shut down a group. They'll get one or two people on in the group, and then they'll start adding their friends, and they take over the group, and then they start getting membership lists and start persecuting these people in real life if they're in their locale. So, for example, if you have a group that's reaching out to the African Christians, for example, obviously you would expect to find information on that page that has to do with the persecution of African Christians, which then gives you a springboard to pursue further persecutions. Okay? So really what this did, I find the timing questionable. And I don't know if it was a coincidence or not, but it just seems to me the three factors together give the appearance that perhaps the person who ran those groups was not so much with New. How's that?
Yeah, that's fascinating. Go on.
He would have to speak up to his own defense, and I don't know if he'll call in or what the story is. There were other people in some of the other groups. I know in Nevada there was a tremendous uproar on that page, and I will not. I was not part of that discussion, so I'm not going to comment very much about it. I had people trying to get me over there, but you have to make some decisions on where you're at with your time, right? And
definitely.
And nighttime attack in my part of the world, it was a daytime attack in their part of the world. You know, a lot of people realize that I spend a tremendous amount of my life in another world, in another aspect of Facebook that has nothing to do with American politics. And it has to do with these other issues. And I am always flabbergasted, or I always get a new insight when I see an attack in an American area that is so highly coordinated with attack in another area, okay, particularly when they know that they're going to force somebody like me to make a choice, okay? And whoever this was had some knowledge of me and had some knowledge of where my abilities and where my attention would be, rather than to help these other people, because it's not that I don't like Newt. Please don't get me wrong at all. I'm probably out there more vocally supporting Newt than maybe even Newt himself. But there's a point where you got to say, well, do I help protect these people with this confidential data on an issue that I value, which will go beyond the presidential campaign, or do I help this other person over here? You know, and so you've got to make your decision and what you can do with your life. And I guess I made the decision, if you will, that protecting the Newt pages was less important than this other issue. How's that?
Okay.
So, you know, what the Coptic Christians are going through right now is just horrendous. If they can't even get out of their country, they're being denied visas to get out. So, you know, I mean, and what's happening there right now with the other thing too, Robert, I'm going to tell you, this attack now on the African Christian Protection League, that was timed with Ramadan, okay? And I don't know how many people realize it was the outset of Ramadan. It was also a holy day in the Jewish calendar, okay? And so I find that the attack on the Christians, when there were not the Jewish brethren out there to be helpful and useful, as well as the attack on Newt's pages, who is, you know, he has been out there very much on this issue of protecting the Coptic Christian, all of this stuff happened in coordination. I find it fascinating.
Yeah, well, yeah, I had a different take. You're definitely bringing some knowledge to the table that I'm sure, you know, a lot of people, including myself, didn't know, you know, all the details. I've heard, you know, some, you know, spatterings here and there of what you're talking about. I wasn't fully aware of that. And how, and if the timing of the state, you know, for Newt going to the state for Romney was directly related to that. But are we talking about the fan pages more so, or the state for Newt pages
The state for Newt pages. The fan pages were taken down long ago, and I suspect that was a decision because those fan pages were always in the control of Newt's campaign. I suspect it might have been a decision by somebody in that campaign, or maybe even by Newt himself. I don't know. Okay, I'm not aware. I do know what I find amazing is that those state for Newt pages could have been very useful in rolling them over for promoting Gingrich Productions. And this is one thing that I have found very frustrating on the pages that are controlled by the campaign, okay, is that those pages could have easily been rolled into pages that promoted Newt's issues with Gingrich Productions. Or, you know, for example, I have read, I've almost seen nothing on America at Risk in any of these groups, which is a phenomenal series that Newt just put out. It's brand new. If you have an opportunity to order it, watch it. But it's Citizens United put it out, but you could probably order it through Gingrich Productions too. You know, there's just so he's put out two or three other books, and yet I see almost none of that on these campaign pages. They're all into promoting Romney, and
right.
I am just flabbergasted because when Palin lost, those groups rolled into groups that promoted Palin's causes and issues. All
right.
Like, for example, her Alaska campaign became the Interior Alaska Conservative Coalition, okay, her Northern campaign. That's where that legacy went, and we've actually been effective out there on issues that are about reducing smaller government. You don't have to roll those into Romney pages, and I find the choice interesting and questionable, and I'm just going to leave it at that.
Yeah, you know, well, I found it interesting of the timing, not directly with what you're speaking with, but yeah, there can definitely be a connection. If you know, as I'm thinking, you know, the timing, especially with these gaffes that's been going on with Romney, and also the talk about a brokered convention is becoming more and more, you know, heard. And I'm going to other pages and other shows, and they're talking about it. I mean, people are actually, you know, and you're getting very vocal. I'm hearing all these people about broker convention, all the history about broker convention. So I think it's spreading, and I think that might be spooking the Romney campaign because, I mean, they've got to know what the history of a broker convention is. You know, and they know that go ahead.
Well, I think actually there's a whole generation of Americans that really don't know because if you think about it, the last openly broker convention, all right, was I would argue that the Eisenhower and the Nixon ones were brokered, but they were not openly brokered in a way that you could watch it on TV, okay? The last really openly brokered, contentious, you know, ongoing convention where, you know, the media was actually able to see what was going on was probably Wendell Willkie. But that, again, was an orchestrated media show on purpose. That was a totally different scenario from all the other ones. Historically, you know, before that time when they were brokered, and quite a few of them were. And, you know, whenever you've had somebody come out of a brokered convention that wasn't the nominee, they've always gone on, every time they've gone on to win the general, except for Wendell Willkie. And again, I would argue that nobody would have won anyway against FDR for his third term. And I still don't understand how Wendell Willkie became the nominee, because he was a registered Democrat. How'd he even become a Republican delegate, much less a Republican nominee? But that's was somebody dropping the ball on the credentials committee, as far as I'm concerned. But be that as it may, you know, it is what it is. But outside of that one anomaly, I mean, if you go back and you look, Eisenhower, everybody says, oh, he got it on the first ballot. No, well, that's a technicality. At the end of the first ballot, it was about dead heat with Taft. So it is a suspended voting, okay, it's rather than go into multiple ballots, because Eisenhower wanted his nomination to be like General Grant's nomination. General Grant was the prototype, and General Grant did get it on the first ballot, but he didn't have to suspend voting to do it. He was legitimately, people just hated Andrew Johnson so much that, you know, they took on General Grant as kind of their poster child and pushed him in. Because the hatred against Andrew Johnson at that time was so horrendous. But even when Grant went for his third term, that was not there. I mean, we ended up with a brokered convention, and the person who they nominated at that time wasn't even running for president. He was Sherman's, this guy named Sherman was running for president, and it was actually his campaign manager, the guy who went, his national delegate, who ended up getting nominated and winning, and he wasn't even running. It was like the 100-some-odd ballot that he ended up with the nomination, and it was a fight over the unit rule. So, you know, again, the whole thing, in you saw that whole same issue revisited in the Goldwater nomination, that again was another area, another time when you ended up seeing a big, huge fight over the unit rule. But not like you did back when Grant was trying to get a third term, and that was huge. In modern, more contemporary times, if you take a look, what they usually do is they'll try to push somebody through unanimous consent, and of course it's the job of the delegates to, you know, you stand up and you call division. Division means they have to make a vote. Then they'll try to do the stand up down thing. So then you have to call to the roll. Okay, you just have to have people who are vocal and out there. And under Robert's rules, they can't deny that, okay? And that's a huge thing at this convention. We're going to need, if you're a delegate out there listening, that's one thing you're going to have to be right on top of. You got to make sure this doesn't get through by unanimous consent, okay, the nomination. And you have to, you have to work opening the floor, all right? And that's not going to be easy, okay? That's going to be a difficult thing. You have to realize who picked the delegates. The Romney campaign, in many instances, did pick these delegates. So that's the deal there, okay? And while they may want this to be this nice, unified, I don't want to say Romney fest, but...
well, that's exactly, well, it's going to be, it's like a pageant, because we're, you know, look at the more recent conventions. It's more like a beauty pageant than it is picking the candidate that will be, or picking the nominee who will be the best candidate to run against the opposing party.
Right, and nobody watches them. I mean, they had Sarah Palin. I think that's the only reason why the ratings went up in the Republican nomination, in the Republican convention, when McCain ran. If it had been McCain Fest, I mean, don't get me wrong, but that, you know, McCain by himself is not a terribly interesting gentleman. He does get his dander up on occasion on issues that are interesting and important, but by and large, in recent years, he has been so boring that, you know, you almost want to eat. Well, anyway. But if that ticket had been... that ticket had been reversed. If Palin had been at the top of the ticket, it would have won.
True. Oh, I think... Well, you know what? When I voted, when I was scratching in that box, I could tell myself, I'm voting for Palin. But I got a couple people on the line. I'm going to let them in as they have called in. So you can stay on the line, right? You want to stay on the line?
Oh.
Great. I'm going to let in 405 because they were on for a while. Let them on, and then we'll go down the line, okay? Hello, 405.
Yeah, hi. First of all, who is this talking about the Newt groups? I don't even know who this woman is.
Okay, this is Barbara Haney.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Barbara.
Hey, how are you? Barbara?
Fine, who's this?
This is Susan G.
Who's this?
From Facebook. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good, sweetie. Listen, I wanted to talk a little bit about what you were talking about those Newt groups.
I don't know that Howard Stern would have to, or not Howard, Howard Stern,
Robert.
That's not who I mean. Howard Stern could call in, though, too. That would be entertaining. If you're going to talk directly about those groups, Robert Stern was probably the person who made that decision. They were his groups. So,
that's what I wanted to call in about. I want everybody to understand. First of all, I was an admin on all of the actual states with Newt pages, the ones that were sanctioned by the campaign.
And those were sand pages, right? Am I correct? Those are
these particular pages that say, whatever state for Newt. Those sprung up after. What was his name? Herman Cain. When he dropped out, in order to get his endorsement, he asked Newt to do him a favor and take on some of his staff, which he did. And that's when all the trouble started within Newt's campaign. And without naming names, they were the people that set up those states for Newt pages. They were never sanctioned by the campaign. They were never brought into our inner circle of the actual sanctioned page admins. It was a constant battle, and that's when it all started, and that's when Newt's campaign started to fold. Now, they were asked many, many times to take those groups down, because it was confusing the fans and the supporters, but the ones that were actual were the ones that were linked to Newt's Facebook page. They are no longer there, and because there is no use for them, and because it takes a tremendous amount of time and man hours to keep them up to date. And
right.
So
and
the
that,
decision
and I think
the
that,
dis-
and I think
was made
I think
to...
That was re- looking at it.
Go ahead,
yeah,
Barbara.
The decision was made to remove the 50 state pages, keep Citizens with Newt, which is a group that was developed by the campaign in the very, very beginning, and Newt's Facebook page. And that's it. Those are the only ones that are actually sanctioned by the campaign and now Gingrich Productions. That's it. And those other ones, they were a thorn in our side the whole year. It was terrible. It was terrible. So I just wanted to clear that up so that everybody understands. It's not a loss for those to go away because they were never part of the campaign in the beginning.
Right.
Okay.
That was my understanding as well. It was that, and that's why I was always kind of curious about those pages. But I'm glad you called in and talked about it because, like I said, I was never really certain.
There's a lot of fan groups and stuff out there, and it's wonderful. You know, I mean, really, we all love Newt. But these particular people that came into the campaign were not Newt supporters. They were Herman Cain supporters, and they never really got over that. And so their heart was never really in the Newt campaign. And actually, a lot of them that I met personally or talked to on the phone, I mean, I went to Denver. I was in Denver for 10 days with these people. And the majority of them were 2008 Mitt Romney refugees.
Mm-hmm.
And they were working.
Wow.
That makes a lot of sense.
Okay, and they were working in Newt's campaign.
Oh,
there was
yeah.
another woman. that was actually there in Denver working on his campaign, and I just found out a couple months ago, well, actually about 3 months ago, I found out who this woman actually was. And, I mean, this woman has been called before Congress to testify. I'm not going to go into it because she's a felon. And I don't want people to know that Newt actually had a felon working in a high position in his campaign. I'm sure he did not know. And so they brought their friends in, they brought their buddies in, and they all soaked Newt's campaign for every penny that they could get.
They didn't do
what they needed to do to make his campaign a winning campaign. Because if you look at how much money he did take in donations, he should have been okay.
Susan, let me clarify, and if you may reiterate. So the understanding what I'm hearing is that some of the same people who were in the 2008 Romney campaign went and worked for the Newt campaign.
Yeah, they ended up in the Newt campaign.
Okay. Yeah, because there's been speculation for a very long time about that very topic, you know, which now sounds, you know, as a fact. Yeah.
I know it for a fact. I talked to them.
Right. Well, that's why I just wanted to clarify, because there's people out there that's been a speculation for a very long time. So, you know, now that's kind of concrete.
And here's the thing, they didn't like me because at the time I was working in Steamboat Springs, which is northern Colorado, and I took time off work, and I went to Denver when they came to Colorado, and spent my own money and my own time. I spent 10 days in Denver, and I stayed in the same hotel that they stayed in, and I also was in the I know, it's like a conference room is what they rented as Newt's headquarters for Colorado. And I was there the whole time, and it was difficult for them to hide it, you know, on an hourly basis where their real allegiance lied. And I actually got into it with a couple of them because I did not approve, as a supporter of Newt, and Newt being my cause and not my job, and that's what I told them.
Mm-hmm.
I said, look, you know, you cannot treat volunteers the way you have been treating people here. I mean, people wouldn't even come in and do the phone banks because they couldn't stand to be around these people. And I finally just went off on him one day and told him. I go, look, you cannot treat volunteers like that. This is a cause for us. It's a job for you.
And you need to understand that when you're dealing
with us. And I was upset. And you know, there was some loud words exchanged. And then individually, each one of them came to me later and said, well, you know, I gave up, you know, a certain salary to come to work on this. And then the conversation would go on and they would tell me, well, yeah, I worked for Romney back in 08. Or I was on the Herman Cain team. And, you know, and so I never found any true allegiance to Newt with these people. And I honestly, in my heart of hearts, believe that the damage that they did from within was on purpose. And it's just really sad to me.
Susan, at this time, I'd like to bring in another person. Would you guys like to still please stay on? I'd really appreciate that. I want to bring in someone who...
Go ahead. Let me make a quick contribution here.
Sure.
You know, there is somebody also in the Santorum campaign, and I don't know if they'll call in or not. I'm hoping they will. They had a very similar experience in the Santorum campaign.
Yeah.
Really? Wow.
They had the same people. All of the campaigns were tanked from within.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be a testimonial I would like to hear. But yes, I'd like to bring in someone who doesn't need any introduction, at least from me. You know, and this is the gentleman who got me started doing a Blog Talk Radio show. And
now,
who
is this right now, though? I'm sorry. Let me interrupt real quick. What is your name?
My name's Robert.
Robert. Okay. I just don't even know whose show this is. I just saw it linked in the group. And I started listening, and I said, okay,
sure.
I need to get this clarified. I'm sorry.
No, no, I appreciate it. I'm really glad you called it. Oh, no, that's okay. You know, I talk, you know, you'd hear me maybe on Samuel Sanford show if you've been on there on occasions, you know, because I've called there pretty frequently. And, you know, I was.
And Robert, are we Facebook friends? What's your last name on Facebook?
Jetter, J-E-T-T-E-R, Junior.
I think we might be.
Very well. I've got a couple. I don't have nearly as many as a lot of people. I only have like 218 friends, but that's okay. As long as they're close friends, you know what I mean? But yes,
right.
So I'm going to let Sammy in, and if you guys would still stay on the line, that'd be great.
Okay.
Hello, Sammy. How are you tonight, sir?
Hey, Robert. We're doing good, my friend. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm very happy to have both Barbara and Susan on.
Susan has been on my show several times. She is an admin on Nuke's main page. And, you know, Barbara's been on my show many times, including last night.
Yeah, amen.
I want to add this about the four Nuke pages. The person that started those pages was very egotistical. I've actually spoken with this person with a third party on the line.
These are the state pages, correct?
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
These are the independent state pages.
Right, okay.
These are the pages that are switching over to Romney.
Okay.
He wanted to make, I'm going to go and say it, he wanted me to make myself look like a liar on my radio show and tell people that Newt was going to come on my show the next night. Without having a guarantee from Newt, I mean, Newt did come on my show twice.
Wow.
This person wanted me to lie to my audience and say Newt was coming onto the show. That's back when I was doing the Be With Newt Money Bomb, which Colleen Porter wrote that song. And I think y'all remember that broadcast I did. Now, I mean, I got a different Money Bomb going for Newt now.
Mm-hmm.
And whether we get him to the podium and as our candidate, or if we just help him pay off his debt, I don't care which one. But I mean, don't worry. My main goal is to defeat Mitt Romney and make Newt Gingrich our candidate to defeat Barack Obama.
Hey, Sammy, I'm going to interject real quick. I've seen someone on the switchboard, but I don't see him any longer. So if they could try to call back in. I was doing some clicking. Oh, good. I apologize. I might have accidentally clicked them out, and if that was the case, I want to deeply apologize for that. I was clicking between different pages, so that might have been an accident. So I apologize. Go ahead, Sammy.
But this person that is changing all the four Nuke pages, which, as Susan very eloquently said, were never official Nuke pages, this person had never met Newt. I know that from firsthand, because I know almost all the admins that have been on all those pages.
Mm-hmm.
And they are all been disillusioned by this person now for months that the guy's a traitor to the cause, and he never was a real Newt supporter. And if he was a real Newt supporter, he would have never told me on the telephone to lie to my audience that Newt Gingrich was coming on the show.
I understand, because I actually have a guest who actually said they would be on the show for one of my Thursday night shows, maybe Wednesday, where I do interviews. She said yes, and you know, said it will be a good time, and we're trying to get a schedule together. I sent a request, an email on when she's going to be, you know, coming onto the show. So, but I don't have a date yet. But she did say she's going to be on, so I'm saying it's not, it's, you know, she said she was, but it's not definite because we don't have a concrete date. So I'm not saying she's definitely going to be on, like you said with Newt. You know, he said, well, he could come on, but she, you know, he might not. You know, there's a shot like Aubrey Ashburn. She's a singer who does, you know, my closing song. If you ever heard my closing song, I got in contact with her. I got in contact with her publicist, and she contacted me back, said, yeah, she'd be happy to do an interview, but we haven't set a date yet. So, you know, I can't say without, you know, with concrete knowledge that she'll definitely be on. But I did say that, you know, she said that she would. But, you know, things happen that she doesn't. Yeah, that's fine. We'll schedule something another time. But I understand the position that the gentleman put you in, because I certainly don't want to put myself in that position by saying that either. You know what I mean?
I mean, I have said before on when I was doing the Beat with Newt Moneybomb, I said Newt, I had people working in the background, and finally, about 4 or 5 days after that telephone conversation, Sean got in touch with, what's his name from Delaware, Marco Spangler. Got him on the telephone and got Newt right before he and Calista were getting ready to sit down, and finally got him to call into the show. But no help to this person that was running the four Newt pages now, which are four Romney pages. And if I was going to run a page, and I do run several pages, I did have Floridians for Newt. It was basically wasn't a fan page. It was a private group. But I changed it over, Rogue Patriots going to Tampa or something like that. And I'm sorry, I am not going to lie to my audience. And when somebody tells you they want you to lie to your audience, then he's telling you that his scruples are not very good. I mean, that'd be like saying I have C.L. Bryant coming on my show from Runaway Slave or Ronald Reagan Jr. Just saying I have these people come, not Ronald Reagan Jr., but Michael Reagan. Not Ronald Reagan Jr. I wouldn't want him on my show. He's a libtard.
Yeah, he really says a lot of not too nice things about his father, you know?
Yeah. But that shows you the scruples of the person that was in charge of these pages.
Well, you know, and that's just the scruples of a lot of people, because, you know, as Susan has pointed out, you know, and I believe, you know, Barbara's talked about too, is, you know, it sounded like all these people were, you know, they were from the Romney. I mean, in my opinion, and please, you know, Barbara and Susan, if, you know, if you think I'm wrong or agree, please chime in, is that I would think that by being on the Romney campaign in 2008, it would recuse themselves from being a part of any other candidates from this campaign, unless it was Romney. Wouldn't that be a very strong conflict of interest?
Well, and that's the thing, but look at what happened with Herman Cain. He was destroyed, okay? And then, but he trusted these people after that. I don't know why, I know why, is because Romney took a different path to destroy Herman Cain, okay? Then he asked Newt to do him a favor and take these people on. And they approached the campaign, and the campaign did take them on. And Newt, you know, for somebody that's been around the block, he could be a little naive when it came to choosing people to work on.
Yeah, it's probably trusting, in my opinion.
He wasn't the one that was making the decisions either.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It was other people that were given the task of making sure that the right people were hired. And it happened to people that used to work for Romney.
The plot thickens. And speaking of that, folks, I have someone else coming on. Do you mind if I go ahead and let them in? We can all stay in the line. I appreciate everybody for not talking over each other. Thank you very much. But I do have another person here, if you don't mind me bringing them in. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. All right. Well, this is 601. So area code 601. Welcome to Bars Lock Political Talk. And thank you for calling in.
Well, I'm glad to be able to join you.
Well, thanks. Go ahead.
This is Roger.
Hi, Roger.
I'm a very passionate Newt supporter. Spend a lot of time on Facebook with our friends. Hi, Barbara, and hi, Susan.
Hi, Roger.
Hey, Roger.
You too, Sammy. I'm sorry, I forgot.
Okay.
Well,
I used to pay more attention to
the
girls.
He just looked in the eye to the ladies. Let's be honest, guys. Go ahead, man.
That's another passion, but I won't get into that one. But I would like to inject a couple of things that I feel like that. First of all, you were talking about some history, and I don't want to waken up the dead of a lot of the historians and things that have gone on in the past, but let's just back up for one topic, if you will, and that pertains to brokered conventions. When was the last time, and so maybe someone can answer this for me, not that it's that of a great importance, but when was the last time that we required and depended on a brokered convention to determine who our nominee was?
I can answer that, but Barbara is more qualified.
Yes, Barbara.
Okay, so, Roger, that depends on your perspective. I'm going to assume that you and I are pretty close of age, and that may not be a good assumption, but I'm going to assume that you would remember maybe the Nixon convention that nominated Nixon.
I was a very young man at that time. Yes, very young. But I guess that is my point. Now,
let me go through the recent ones, all right, and I'll give you my arguments on them. Nixon did not have enough delegates. He was in the lead, but he did not have enough delegates. It was because Ronald Reagan threw his support behind Nixon, all right. What they did is they suspended voting, you know, which is the way they did it with Eisenhower. Eisenhower in 52 was clearly a brokered convention. Don't let anybody kid you. Instead of multiple ballots, what they did is they suspended voting, and then they allowed people to change their vote as the brokering process went on. So by looking at the number of ballots, it's totally irrelevant to the whole concept of what goes on to negotiate these votes. All right?
The second convention,
where it was clearly brokered, there's no question about it, was the Nixon one, and not 1960. 1960, Nixon had a clear path. There was no brokering. He was the man, and he fell flat on his face. In contrast, Nixon had a fight for it in 68. And in 68, when he fought for it, he managed to persuade Reagan, who didn't have enough to be in a position. But what Reagan did is he picked, with his little small cadre of delegates, he threw that behind Nixon, and that's how Nixon got the nomination. That was, without a doubt, a brokered convention. Now, I want to move forward into the Ford convention. By the way, we all know that Nixon went on to win that, right? Nixon went on to win the president.
Right, exactly. Right.
All right, now, let's move forward to Gerald Ford, all right? Gerald Ford, that was a contentious convention. Quite frankly, Ronald Reagan should have been the nominee. Here's the history lesson. When you have an incumbent president who cannot secure the nomination on the first ballot without tremendous jockeying, that guy should not be the nominee. All
right?
That was the lesson that came out of the 1800s. All right? But what did everybody forget? The lesson learned in the 1800s if you have somebody who is not an incumbent that can make a successful challenge to block your nomination, you should probably not be the nominee, all right? You're not going to win. Guess what happened? Ford didn't win. Ford was able to move forward. He was able to outfox, if you will, Reagan, all right? And then Ford went on to the election, and he lost abysmally to Carter. Had Reagan... I believe we would never have had Jimmy Carter as president. Be that as it may, that's what happened. All right.
You know, Barbara,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
You know what? That's interesting because I just saw a video on YouTube the other day where it says GOP picks the wrong nominee, and everybody knew it when when Reagan got up after the nomination and made a little off speech, and everybody was just like, oh, my God, what did we just do?
Yeah.
Well, I can honestly say that
it gets worse. It gets worse. When Reagan ran, and remember how he had that clear path in there, everybody dropped out, everybody quit? What Ford's agenda was he, this was what I call the spawning of what I call the stealth delegate. The stealth delegate is really when you have somebody who is for somebody else, but they're pretending to be somebody else to become a delegate. And what happened when all those people quit or get out of the race and left Reagan this clear path, what they did, what they were, is they were delegates who were not for Reagan at all. They were for Ford.
Right.
And
yeah.
So when Reagan gets to the convention, he's expecting this, you know, he's expecting, even the chair of the RNC and the chair of the convention did not know what was going on. They tried to raffle that nomination away from him, and they tried to put Ford as the vice president in a co-presidency. That's what they tried to do. All right? And a lot of people don't know it. A lot of it went on off camera. And the guy who was the chair of that convention has actually written about it on the internet and can easily do a search on it and find it. So while I don't regard Reagan as a brokered, his last one where he actually won, I don't regard that one as a brokered convention as the same set, but I do regard it as brokered because this guy didn't know his delegates were not his delegates. All right?
Right.
I mean,
right.
This is a case, by the way, where Reagan trusted people. Okay, he was too trusting.
Yeah.
And he should have been in there talking to his delegates and making sure his delegates were his delegates. Okay? Now, here's what I'm going to tell you, what I know about Romney. His delegates may not be his delegates.
Wouldn't that be something?
All right? Are people who learned from the support campaign and who watched that and who sat in and sat and watched McCain, and they're angry.
Mm-hmm.
There are a few people that Romney campaign facilitated. Now, I never lied about what I was about. Okay, I'm going to tell you right now, I never lied. I told them I'm about Newt. The whole Newt, nothing but the Newt. Okay, that's what I'm about.
I love that. That's great. Good.
What were some of the candidates? I'm not against Romney per se. I mean, if he is a nominee, I'll vote for him, okay? But I think we're all kind of in that scenario. But I'm about getting Gingrich in there, okay? I mean, I liked Kana. I liked Sam. I liked, there's a few of them. And some of them I have some problems with. You know, I could have lived with Ron Paul. He wasn't my first choice, certainly, but I could have lived with him. But my goal, my objective is to get Newt Gingrich in there. That's what that's about. And in a way, that's what I'm kind of here to do, you know? I think he's the right answer. Now, and I'm sure I'm not going to belabor that because I think everybody listening in probably feels the same way. And if you don't, well, too bad for you.
What I would like to do, if
you
would allow me,
I'm wondering how many of Romney actually knows his own delegates. Because I'll tell you what, the Ron Paul campaign was very good at being stealthy and getting people in Romney positions, just as many of the Newt Gingrich people were, some of them were very stealthy of getting into Romney positions. Just like there were people who, and this was a big problem with Santorum. Santorum had delegate slots, but it became very apparent early on that there were no Santorum delegates stepping forward. And that's because Operation Hilarity afforded these delegate slots to Santorum. But the problem that occurred because Operation Hilarity, you know, opened up these slots for Santorum delegates is that there were no registered Republicans who could step forward and serve as delegates. So what that did is it gave tremendous opportunities for other more savvier campaigns like the Ron Paul campaign, like some of the Newt Gingrich grassroots people, like some other folks, to slip into those delegate slots. Now, does Romney have those people? He might be counting on having people. He may not have them. He may have them. I don't know. Isn't that interesting? I don't think Romney will know who his people are. I don't think he does. I know for a fact he hasn't talked to those who are here in personally in Alaska. I know that for a fact because I know who the Romney delegates are. And I think it's an ambitious candidate picked up the phone and started calling the delegates like he said he was supposed to do. I think we could turn this around for him. But that has to be upon the part of that candidate.
Well, I really believe that if somebody would just check his check stubs, he could figure out how many delegates he's got. There's no doubt that he spent a fortune on them. And I would like to take this up, get on the elevator and take it up one more level. And I go back and revisit the Reagan administration, because Ronald Reagan is the reason today that I am a conservative. I thought I was a Republican, but I've learned in the last 2 years that I am not a Republican. I am a conservative. The reason I'm going to say this is primarily because of the amount of corruption internally in the Republican, in the GOP, in the RNCC. The amount of corruption within this own party has become more of an enemy to our movement and our efforts to get an honorable man elected than the Democrats are doing. I don't think that Barack Obama could create as much damage to the party as we have done internally. And I only find one fault for that.
As the perfect example.
Go ahead, Susan.
Look what happened in Virginia. That's the perfect example
right
what you're talking
about. And not only in Virginia, but all over the United States. There's been so much big, powerful money. The Washington insiders, the elite, the corporate power brokers, the Romney team of, I consider, corrupt cronies.
Well, look at Florida.
This party with the corruption.
They change the rules as they go along. And now they're taking delegates away in a couple of other states. South Carolina, they're going to take delegates away. I just heard that the other day. Newt won that state. And now they're going to take half the delegates away? Why?
Let me identify something with what Roger's saying. I thought I was Republican. I am not a Republican either. I'm a constitutional conservative. And whether that is for Newt Gingrich, who I want to be my next president, or we force a broker convention and bring in another candidate. But I cannot accept Mitt Romney as my candidate. I'm sorry. I will not vote for him. I will not hold my nose and vote for anybody but Obama. It's not anybody but Obama. Because when you're voting for Mitt Romney, you're voting for Barack Obama. Because you're pulling yourself if you think Mitt Romney can win in the general election.
Here's the other thing, too, Sammy. All these consultants and all these lobbying groups have their hooks into the Romney campaign. Well, that's exactly what ended the surpluses that we had with Newt. I mean, and I think that's who in part chased Newt out, because they wanted their money. Okay, it's about the money and it's about seats at the table of power.
100%. You and Roger are both right.
That's what happened to Bush.
No, I was just going to say, I've got another caller who's been on hold for a little bit. If you don't mind, everyone, of course, can stay on, because I think you guys are doing an excellent job of not talking over each other, and I really appreciate that. Thank you very much. And because of that, I feel comfortable enough letting someone else in, because it's been going so well. So this person's on 917, so as long as you be civil and no cussing, we're good. 917, go ahead and chime in.
Hi, this is Teresa in New York, Teresa Polychronis, and I'm listening and learning a lot. So but I just got to say that I'm with you 100%.
Great. Well, thank you very much for calling in tonight.
Hi, Teresa.
Is there anything you'd like to?
Hi.
Oh, go ahead, guys.
Teresa, you were online during the discussion on Nevada for what was once called Nevada.
Yes, I was.
Were you not?
I was. I was listening online most of the time, and then I phoned in just to be able to say hello to everyone.
Teresa, could you talk a little bit about what was going on that list last night?
With what?
Can you talk a little bit about
in the Nevada one? You know,
yeah.
Last night I logged on to the Nevada for Romney, and Robert Stern was really being beaten up on. They were really raking him over the coals. Not one person supported him, and they really came out with some really good information and reasons and arguments nobody got into personal attacks or anything, but just really stating the facts and defending Newton and really objecting to changing a Newt group to a Romney group. And Stern really he just couldn't hold his own with the others.
Hello, Teresa. It's nice to actually hear your voice, because I think you're on almost all my pages. This is Sammy.
Hi, Sammy. How are you?
Oh, we're hanging in there. It's been a restful day, and it's finally getting to hear your voice. That's good, because I think you're on most of my pages. And thank you for not shutting up. And I want to thank Susan, Roger, Barbara, and I mean, we're out here fighting in the trenches for our freedom. We're fighting for Newt Gingrich.
Amen.
And you're either a true blue Newt or get the hell out of the way and let the people take it to Tampa.
Well, I'm glad the words they use, because Newt Gingrich, I'm just going to chime this in, two sentences. As Newt Gingrich has always said, that a campaign for him was going to be a campaign of the people. You know, it's going to be a people's campaign. Okay, I'm done.
And Robert, you were there on the last time he called into the show.
Yes.
And that's basically what he said. It's a people's campaign. And I know Newt can't call into my show now. People keep on telling me, try to get Newt can't call into my show right now because he is doing what he has to do to get to Tampa. And a lot of people don't realize that.
That's right.
Newt has to toe the party line right now. And I've shared on your show before, and I've shared on my show, when I saw Newt 2.5 weeks ago, Newt barely mentioned Mitt Romney twice. It was nothing but Barack Obama. Even though there were Newt signs all around, Romney signs all around us, he never once said endorse or support Mitt Romney during that little 25 or 30 minute speech. I wish I had videotaped it. I didn't do it, and that's my downfall, and I apologize for that. Newt was 100% awesome here in Jacksonville. And as I said, he never did say support or endorse. At that rally, I don't know how many people there, I think three or four at least, I heard openly say they supported a brokered convention. And this was at the RNC headquarters here in Duval County, Jacksonville, Florida. Everybody was there to see Newt Gingrich. They didn't care about Mitt Romney. A lady came by to hand me a Mitt Romney sticker, and I took it from her and quietly folded it up, put it in my pocket, and a couple minutes later, Cindy Todd saw me go through the trash can. And
Sammy.
Yes, sir.
Can I inject something here that I wanted so many times to post on the Facebook pages and share with their friends? And I would like to use this as an example of why Newt Gingrich has so much integrity and why he is being Newt Gingrich. Going back to Ronald Reagan again, Ronald Reagan had a moral compass. He knew that there was only one person worthy of, as Nancy said, the torch. But I will convert that to another term, his moral compass. And Reagan often said, you never criticize your own in your own party.
The 11th commandment.
Pardon me?
I said Reagan's 11th commandment.
Yeah, it's one of his commandments. And the reason for that being is he was a man of integrity. He had the vision that Newt Gingrich would continue his tradition with his moral compass, and he would set an example for all Republicans, which at that time he was considered a Republican, and I bowed to that throne too. He became our moral compass for the future. What I don't understand is how so many people have dispelled Ronald Reagan's moral compass, why they have tarnished it the way they have, and have pretty much become cannibals within the party to destroy Newt. The corruption, the amount of lies, the distortions that have been used to put Newt Gingrich down is beyond anything that I could ever imagine that would happen.
Well, I can answer that for you. I can tell you why they're doing that. I'm sure you understand why.
It goes back to the power and the money thing.
It's not even that. It's not even that. I'm sorry. I'm out of my...
Let me tell you why.
Because Newt represents everything that they don't.
Exactly.
You talk about his integrity. Look, God uses people that have been tested by fire. Okay, Newt has been tested by the fire, and he found his way to God. He found his way to dignity. He found his way to integrity. And he knows who these people are. He knows what drives them. He knows what makes them tick. He knows where the bodies are buried and who put them there. He is a tremendous threat to them because he knows where to look, and what rocks to overturn to actually drain that swamp. And he is the guy that has done it before, and he could do it again. He represents everything that they're afraid of, and that's honesty, integrity, and a true love for the American way. They don't have that in their soul like he does, and they know it. It's a typical fight of good versus evil, okay?
Well,
Newt is good. They aren't.
Well, let me interject this here. Back in Robert's early days of his show, he had a Mitt Romney supporter call in and said that Ronald Reagan was a moderate. And, I mean, I think Robert's jaw probably hit the ground before mine did.
Yeah, I thought I was gonna look like that Jacob Marley guy from Christmas Carol.
They tried to say Newt is a moderate. But
being a conservative
doesn't mean you have to be heartless, okay? There's always a way to do something to help people. Just because you're conservative doesn't mean you can't help people. And there is a way to get there. And there is a way to get there through our government. And Reagan was able to master that. Newt has been able to master that. And that's why they try to call him a moderate. If that's the definition of a moderate, then I guess that's what I am. But I consider myself a conservative. I do for mine at home first, and then what's left over I do for others. I mean, charity begins at home. You've got to take care of your own before you can take care of anybody else. And that's Newt's philosophy. And that's Reagan's philosophy.
And Susan, this guy that was claiming that Mitt Romney was a conservative, he dropped the F-bomb one time, I think, Robert, and he dropped the GD-bomb one time.
Yeah, he dropped the F-bomb twice. But what I found interesting about that conversation, okay, is one of the things that he said was that Romney was more of a conservative than anyone gave him credit for. But then towards the end of the conversation, or the end of the discussion, he conceded to the fact that Romney was the most moderate candidate of all the candidates that were running in this primary season.
I like to say liberal moderate.
They use our own language as a weapon against us, you know, and people get caught up in that, in the verbiage, you know, because they don't really understand what they believe. I mean, it's like, you know, if I see somebody begging for money, panhandling, you can tell. You can tell if they've made a racket out of it or if they're really in need. Okay? I will give somebody, I can see that they're really in need. I will give them some money. But the ones that have made a racket out of, I will walk away from. That's, as far as I'm concerned, a conservative. Okay? I'm going to conserve my resources for myself and help those that I see are truly in need. I don't know. I'm babbling now. I just... The way they use their own language
is
conditioning that we've all been subjected to over the last 4 decades. You know, we've been conditioned that abnormal is normal, that evil is good. It's just ridiculous, and people need to open their eyes. I mean, the liberals have got control of the media. They have control of our schools. They are conditioning our children to believe that, you know, that it's okay to be an abomination. It's okay to murder your unborn child. That's normal. No, it's not normal. And so we've got to stop letting them use our own words against us as weapons. And that's what they're doing. So
agreed.
I'm going to stop now.
Barbara, if Roger wants to chime in, or
let me put a plug in, then I got to get off the show.
Okay, go ahead, Roger, because Sammy's going to go ahead.
Tomorrow night, thanks to Barbara, we probably have a special guest come on the show. From a foreign country, and we're going to be talking about Islam Nation or the Muslim Brotherhood and how the U.S. foreign affairs have failed in under Barack Obama and why we need Newt Gingrich.
Awesome.
This person is an awesome person who lives in a country that is being persecuted. I will not mention his name on the show, and I will not mention his name tomorrow night for his own self-protection. He's worried about his family.
Could you tell us what time, maybe, that he's going to call in? Because we make sure that, you know, is there a certain time?
Right, he's supposed to be calling in right around 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. This guy is an awesome Christian and an awesome person that loves democratic principles, and I will be changing a little bit of description of my show tomorrow. It will still be Keep Newt In Money Bomb, and we're going sidestep out of the general direction to show what a Christian is doing in a foreign country that is being attacked by the Muslims.
A lot of people don't realize who is the president of the United States has a very direct impact, perhaps more so in these foreign countries than in the United States, in a very real and direct way. And after Romney's visit to Israel, the number of contacts that I have gotten from people overseas who are, please get Newt in. He is the only one who really understands this issue with Sharia and Islam. I mean, this is so huge. And these people are crying out. The persecution that the Christians internationally are going through in many of these Islamic countries is horrendous. and they need Newt in there. This isn't just a cause. I mean, for us, we regard it as a cause of taking our country back, taking our party back, but it's gone beyond that. This is about a very serious global issue, and it would seem that Romney really doesn't have a handle on it. The number.
He can't even handle the Olympics in London.
Well, oh my gosh. Well, and having a fundraiser in Israel on a high holy day in Israel and on the first day of Ramadan in the Islamic world was a way to insult both people at the same time. Holy cow. Are you kidding me?
And wasn't that event canceled, Barbara?
Yeah, but who is in the campaign? I mean, really?
No, yeah, he's definitely clueless.
Yeah,
even in the United States, you make sure you're not approaching on somebody's observances. Oh my goodness gracious!
That's good knowledge to have. Go ahead, Sam, and then I want Roger to be able to chime in because I know there's something he's wanting to get to.
I'm going to shut down the show and get off your show and get ready to prepare for my show. But please listen in tomorrow night, and please always support Robert's show. Robert is a very elegant speaker. He's a very elegant host.
Thank you, Sammy.
And
I appreciate that.
He is a patriot for Newt Gingrich, as we all have to be patriots for Newt Gingrich if you really love Newt. If you don't love Newt, then get off the boat and get out of the way and let us take it to Tampa. And that's what I got to say, plain and simple. I'm out here for Newt. I don't change my mind. I don't flip-flop. I'm not Mitt Romney. I am not Barack Obama. I'm a Newt supporter, and I don't ask for any money to run my show, and Robert doesn't either. We're out here fighting in the trenches for Newt Gingrich. Same as Barbara, Susan, Roger, what was the other? Teresa. Teresa is out there every day posting all day long.
Yeah, Dana and Susan's on. I appreciate you calling in.
Okay, but all right, we will talk to y'all on the flip side.
I'll
be live at 10 o'clock. And love you, bro. And I
you
love
too,
all
Sammy.
Your
Sammy. Take care.
Bye,
take,
Sammy.
Thank you very much for calling in. And,
hey,
and,
very
and
well.
Well,
people, Sammy.
Thank you, Sammy. And while we're doing the plugs, I just want to say that you can find, on Blog Talk Radio, of course, you can find Samuel Samford's show, but I actually have a website for the show that you can find the link on the homepage of Bard's Logic Political Talk. And if you go to the About the Show page at the bottom, there is a link to the Conservative Conversation, which has multiple shows that talks about Newt and our Newt supporters. And you have Charlotte Dively, and she has Pray USA, and that show is on at, these are all Eastern time, and that show's on at 9 p.m., and then Sammy's, as you heard, starts at 10 p.m., and then you also have live video chat with Mark Presick's show, and that's, he does 10 to midnight, and then midnight to 2, so there's different things for people to look at. And also, what's new is the Tax and Rec show on Blog Talk Radio, and they're also new supporters. And those are on Friday and Saturday evenings from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern time. Now, I promised Roger that I would let him get on and make his chime in. So go ahead, Roger. Thank you for waiting for me.
Well, thank you. And I will pick up where I left off in terms of the traditions that Ronald Reagan passed on to Newt and why Newt is Newt and being Newt. The one thing the man has, as I said, is the ultimate respect for the party, even though he has been mistreated by it. And he is, as an example, continues to maintain his integrity and do what he can for the benefit of the party. And for you naysayers out there who keep bringing up these posts on the different pages and the different people's sites, Newt Gingrich is a candidate for president of the United States. He is in the wings in the event that Mitt Romney fails, which we all hope and pray that he will. And I think, bottom line, he will self-destruct eventually. But Newt is still in this campaign. he still is a viable candidate. And I hope that people will understand and respect that until Mitt Romney has completely self-destroyed himself or self-destructed, Newt will be an honorable person. He will not stand in the way. He will not be a roadblock. He will not be a media block for Mitt Romney. He will allow Mitt Romney to demonstrate his lack of ability to run this country. I just hope and pray that people will realize that he's being a man of honor, and he is not betraying, he is not laying down, and he is not giving up on us, the American people. Anyone who challenges me on a post on my site or anyone else's site, and I'm sure that you probably have seen me out there many times, I do not stand with Mitt Romney and his trolls, and I do not tolerate, and I will defend passionately, Newt's privilege to serve this country as president when the opportunity presents itself.
Oh, you know, one thing I wanted to bring out, the other night I watched Newt, Larry Kudlow had him on for the full hour of his program, and Newt was, you know, you have to, you know, read between the lines and put the message behind the message, and Kudlow apparently was very sympathetic to Newt and was really asking questions that really brought things out, and so each time he'd ask Newt a question about, like, Romney, how's he doing on the economy, Newt would say, well, he seems to be improving, you know,
right.
and he didn't say he's doing a good job. He didn't say he was for Romney. It was almost like, you know, like Mark Antony's eulogy, you know, he just got the message across that Romney and Kudlow seemed to be right with him, you know, and the two of them really, by the time they finished that program, it was obvious that Romney was a jerk who didn't even know what he was talking about.
Well, I appreciate you giving me the chance to speak up to you guys and speak with you. I've enjoyed it, and I consider it an honor to be among you, but whatever you do, I will be standing in the wings waiting to do everything I can to help Newt Gingrich get elected. And I'm going to get off the phone here and listen in on my computer, and hopefully that we can get some other people express their views.
Oh, no, Roger, before
yes.
you leave, you had mentioned at one point you had some recollection of Newt Gingrich in his earlier days.
That's correct.
I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about that, because back then I was a messed up college student, you know.
Well, I may have been either a senior to you or junior to you. We won't talk about that, but I will say this, that Newt Gingrich caught my eye when he first got involved with Congress as a junior congressman. Newt seemed to be different than all the rest. He wasn't your typical politician. Newt had great ideas. He was inspirational. He had courage. He had an imagination. And that imagination allowed the Republican Party to take control of the House and the Senate. And he was the leader in both bodies. I don't care what anyone says. If it had not been
yes,
for Newt Gingrich serving back in Congress in those days, neither the Senate nor the House would have been successful as they were when Newt Gingrich led that group. And he became an inspiration to me again, because I realized that there was another body that was following Ronald Reagan's lead and that we had a lot to look forward to. And if it hadn't been for the coup, and I will name some names, with Dick Armey and with Tom DeLay and some of the others, including our current House Speaker behind the wings, or behind the scenes rather, stabbing the man in the back, destroying him in the House with lies, known lies, and trumped up charges to get him out of there because they were afraid that they would never see an opportunity to capture power as they all want. And that's the one reason why Newt Gingrich was destroyed. It wasn't because of anything he did. It had everything to do with what they did to stab him in the back and destroy him. And we owe it to Newt to correct that error and to get him back in a position to where he can be the leader that he was striving to be for America, not for power, not for glory, but for the benefit of the people of America. And that's where Newt
You're absolutely correct on that. It was
Amen,
about
Roger.
them. It wasn't because of anything that he did. And as a matter of fact, there's a story out there that it's absolutely true that Sandy Hume, son of Britt Hume, was a gay reporter at the time, and they strong-armed him, these people that were in this coup, they strong-armed him to report their story in order to bring Newt down, and if they didn't, they would out him as a homosexual, and he ended up committing suicide. Britt Hume blames Newt for his son's death, and that's why you see that I
Well, actually, let me interrupt there. He actually claimed that Newt outed him. He did it.
And
Newt
not Dick Armey. Wow.
Newt had a
DeMint.
Staff member,
DeMint.
What I recall. Pardon?
It was DeMint that did it. That's why it just drives me crazy when I see DeMint and Dick Armey getting all of these accolades for starting out Freedom Works and all that kind of stuff, because they're dirty. They're just as dirty as the rest of them. And
unfortunately, Jim DeMint is bringing shame on the Tea Party, too. He has become a voice for the Tea Party.
Actually, when I was in Denver, it was if you go to YouTube, you can find a video there of a interview. I think it's Greta and Lindsey Graham. I'll see if I can find it, and I'll post it in the CRA group. But Lindsey Graham actually sounded real close to remorseful for what they did to Newt at that time.
Absolutely.
And it's a really, really interesting video, and it didn't get a lot of play. I tried to get it circulated, but, of course, everybody was upset with Lindsey Graham anyway because he didn't endorse Newt and we won South Carolina without him. But it appeared to some people that he was just doing that to save his own skin when it comes time for his reelection in South Carolina. However, I don't know. When I listen to it and I listen to his tone of voice, I don't know. I think he's sincere. I think he truly regrets being a part of that. But he
says,
I watched Greta that night, and I think he was remorseful. And one thing he brought out was that later he became governor, and he realized that was involved with responsibilities and being in charge. And he really said some fine things about Newt. One person who was involved in that whole cabal against Newt was Paxson, the former congressman from New York.
Right.
And part of the rumor was that he, of course, he was married to Susan Molinari, but he must have been, double ACDC, because the rumor was that he was having an affair with Fit Hume's son.
Right. Well, one thing I can say on behalf of Lindsey Graham, and I can't recall the source of the information, but I do have it down as a reliable source, that when Dick Armey denied that he was involved in the coup, Lindsey Graham got so mad, he literally went across the table. I think there was some physical intent there, and if I recall, it was quite a disturbance when Lindsey went after Dick Armey, because Armey was playing the innocent poor little me guy, and he was one of the largest contributors to the coup. So Lindsey did see the way of his wrong, and he did eventually come out and admit that he was a party to that, as well as John Bonner. John was in the thick of it, too.
Yes.
He didn't have the influence at that time that the other senior leaders had, but he was definitely one of the troops that was out there spreading the rumors and feeding the frenzy against Newt at that time. So,
And somebody just posted the link on Texan Rec, just to the Graham interview I was talking about in the chat room. So,
oh, great. Thank you, Texan Rec. That's Rex. That's the Rex part of the Texan Rec. He just put that in there, I was told earlier.
Yeah, it's you know, Newt has taken a lot of hits over the years, but the,
oh my gosh,
you know, like
yeah.
he said, you know, you expect that when you run the kind of leadership that he ran, but nobody can deny that his form of leadership got things done and worked in this country. Nobody can deny that.
And it was for
that.
The people, too. It wasn't for him. It wasn't for
selfish
reasons.
For the people, not for him. And have you ever noticed how, and it just gives me chills every time I hear him say the word people. Have you ever noticed how Newt always emphasizes that word? When you, next time you listen to one of his videos or watch one of his videos, just watch his body language changes for a split second, the tone in his voice when he says, the people.
Well, if I may interject, go ahead.
No, it just inspires me so much, the way he says it with such love for the American people.
Well, if the folks don't mind this, there's a little bit of, the music's a tad bit annoying, but I'm sure people just listen through that and hear Newt. I have an audio clip. It's about 4.5 minutes long, if people don't mind me play it. It's of Newt, and I've got a title, Newt, America is Magical. And it talks about, it's Newt talking about America. So if you guys don't mind me playing it, what do you think?
I think it's about great. I would like to say this. I would like to say bye and listen to it on my computer. I have you on the other line on the station here too. But let me say bye. Well, you're more than welcome. And I'd also like to say to my friend Lemu, I didn't challenge that bleep button one time, so she should be proud of me.
Yep.
Roger,
thank you very much, Roger, for coming on. I appreciate it, and hope to hear from you again.
Thank you. Thank you,
Roger.
For
who
me.
Are you on Facebook? Can we hook up and be?
I am Roger Simpson. That is my name, Roger Simpson.
Okay.
I have a Facebook page, and I participate. I was participating in something like 40 different sites at one time. I'm down to 15 now. So, but I'm very active there. And if I can find your page, what is your name on there?
Roger, I believe you blocked me the other day when they made me an admin at Citizens with Newt. This is Susan G. So
I blocked a lot of people. I'm sorry if you were in that group that I blocked, but I blocked a lot of people because there were so many metros on there just challenging my gentleman side, and I didn't want to disrupt it, so I blocked everyone.
Yeah,
so
no,
I
did not
angry.
Challenge you, and you can take me off block now if you do not mind.
Okay, I will then.
Yeah.
Thank you all, and I will be listening in on my PC, okay?
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Bye. Well, bye-bye. I'll go ahead and play this, and I apologize for for the little background music that's on there. But I hear some more music. But it's not from me, I promise. But here we go, folks. Maybe it's from the speakers of his computer. Let's see if I can do this.
America is magic. That's why cynics and academics and Europeans and others don't quite understand this. And we're magic because we really do believe that we can be a city of women. We really do believe that we have been endowed by our Creator. And that isn't an act of arrogance. It's an act of humility. Because it means we have a responsibility. We are people who have been placed on this planet with the opportunity to extend freedom all the way to every human being. We care about people so much that if there's a tsunami in Indonesia, we're there. If there's an earthquake in Turkey, we're there. If there's a hurricane in Honduras, we're there. Part of us has a tear every time a child is lost. And it's why if we watch our news, we pay such intense attention when children are lost. Because every single child is a child of mine. We've gotten off on the detour. And we've done this before, honestly. And we're in a little bit of a mess. And we've had a weak period of political leadership. And we have bureaucracies that think they're Europeans and that we're only subjects and they can order us around. And we have judges who are alienated and think that they actually represent some international worldview superior to the Constitution. And we have a news media that reflects the academic world and an academic world that reflects the fantasy of the left. And so all those things come together. And we have some problems. We are the wealthiest, most extraordinary society in the history of the human race. At this very moment, we are the largest economy by a large scale. We are capable of pulling away from China as decisively as in the 1990s we pulled away from Japan. We have the most powerful military in the history of the world. But we have to come back to grips with a decision about who we are. And what I would say to every young person who's here tonight is, you're at the edge of a revolution in scientific knowledge that is going to liberate you in the next half century, fully as much as any generation of American history. I'll close with a person I admire a great deal that Cliff and I did a movie about, Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan was born when he had horse cavalry. When we went out and filmed the movie, and we were at the ranch, I saw it, and the ranch was very small, 1950s style building. I saw this picture on the wall that I'd never seen before. It was Ronald Reagan in the 1930s, in a U.S. cavalry uniform, not from a movie, but from an Army Reserve unit. Reagan was in one of the last horse cavalry units in the U.S. Army, as a reserve officer. He'd grown up. He was born before motion pictures had sound. He went to Hollywood when Technicolor was brand new. He evolved into television, which had not existed. And he spoke to the nation about the explosion of a space shuttle and the death of a teacher in space. All in one lifetime. And so he believed that you ain't seen nothing yet. And I would say to every young person here tonight, we will be back. We will rebuild the country we love. And we will save the planet. You ain't seen nothing yet.
Quiet. That video always
dead air. There. So look, I just see on Twitter two Solyndra owners spotted at Obama's fundraiser contributing money after taking $500 million from taxpayers and filing bankruptcy. How shameful is that?
That is incredibly shameful.
It is. It is. It.
And we'll see if we.
Did we lose
and,
Robert?
I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, Susan, the one thing I want to ask you, how does one go about getting, like, for example, little clips for people to share on, like, for example, in some of Newt Gingrich's other things that he's, I mean, he's been producing things while he's, you know, been sort of off the trail. You know, I know, like, for example, America at Risk by Citizens United is one production he came out with. But, you know, I actually didn't learn about the series on the internet. I had, actually, it was through a friends at Citizens United that kind of, I knew about it.
I'm only aware that most of the stuff is going through Gingrich Productions. So I would advise everyone to go to GingrichProductions.com and sign up for their newsletter. They do send out a weekly recap of everything that they've been doing. Also, if you have an event that you would like Newt to speak at, that is who you contact. And I believe that, you know, and the office, I believe the phone number for the office is on there. And you can actually contact them through the office, through Gingrich Productions, and tell them, you know, that you would love to have Newt. Now, I don't know if he's speaking for free. I know that he used to do that during the tea parties and stuff, but he's now involved in splitting 50-50. I want to say NRCC, and I can't tell you what those initials stand for, and I'm not even sure if they're correct, but I know it's something to do with senatorial campaigns. Newt is working with them to get the majority in the Senate. We've got
right.
to get rid of Harry Reid. But the money that is being raised by that association is being split 50-50 with Newt to help him pay down his debt and to help elect Republican senators and to get rid of
right.
Harry Reid.
I understand that.
Gingrich Productions.
Now, let me ask you, because the other day some of us received a message that Gingrich Productions had been hacked. Is that your understanding as well?
I had not heard that.
Yeah, there were two or three of us that got messages saying that Gingrich Productions had been hacked, and we were like, what?
Wow.
So
I had not
yeah.
heard that.
Yeah.
Did they give any other details?
Something about, let me see if I can still find it, because I was totally flabbergasted by it. I think it was maybe a week ago. And I went over to Gingrich Productions, and it didn't seem to be an issue. Let me see if I can find it again.
And all anybody that wants to make donations to help Newt with his debt, the newt.org website is still active as far mm-hmm. as taking donations.
Right. So let me ask you
yeah.
something, because you probably know more about this than anybody else, Susan. That debt that he had accumulated, wasn't that largely as a result of whatever happened in Florida? Wasn't there some kind of how did that all play out? Because that's not like Newt, obviously.
I know for a fact there was one person that felt that he himself was very valuable to the campaign, yet he was not. And he actually sent a bill to Newt for over $900,000. And I had it out with the guy and asked him just what it was he thought he did that was worth $900,000. You know, as long as those bills are sent to him, then they have to be counted in the debt, okay? But I believe for the last I heard, and it's been a couple of months, and I heard very little, is that a lot of those bills that were submitted to the campaign have been disputed. And that was one of them. But until the dispute is over, then according to the FEC rules, they have to be counted in his debt. Some of the other debt, the larger portion, another large portion of the debt was for the airline. You know, they had a private plane, and that's pretty costly. And I think that was like over $500,000. A lot of
you can understand that.
Remember,
I mean,
I don't know if
yeah.
you remember, but in Florida, remember when the press corps were complaining because Newt said, "Hey, you know, you guys can fly around with us if you want, but you're going to have to pay your fair share, and it's $2,000 a head," and
yeah.
they made a big deal about that. Whining and crying, you know, here these networks, they wanted to follow him around, but they didn't want to pay. They wanted him to pay for the press corps. And it's customary for the press corps to pay for their seats on these planes.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it was 2,000 ahead. I take that back because I think that it was judged by the distance as what their cost would be. And they made a big to-do about it, and it was all over the TV for a couple of days, and then it calmed down. But, in the, you know, if those things were not paid, then it's going to be billed against the campaign. Now, it could very well turn out that a lot of that transportation is actually owed to some of these media outlets.
I've got a question. I just want to ask real quick about something we talked about earlier. Someone said there was someone who was from the Santorum campaign that I believe they experienced some of the same things about the Romney people, you know, the two people from 2008 Romney campaign being in with Santorum. I'm just saying if anyone, you know, knows who that person is, I'm not going to ask anybody to out anybody or say any names. But if you know them, I would be happy to have them come on the show and talk about their experience. So if you know who they are, just contact them and then just let me know.
I will, and we'll see what we can do. That was, like I said, some of them are now operating. Robert, there's a group, a Facebook group called Grassroots Republicans Empowered Against Tyranny. And
wow, that's a long name. No.
Well,
good
we call it great. We call it great, Grassroots Republicans.
Cool.
And, okay. And so if you find
that's
that
great.
Group and join it, I actually own the
definitely.
Group. And what I was able to do was bring together some of the more active activists in Newt's group, Santorin's group, and Ron Paul's group into one Facebook group to begin to start hashing out what we're doing is we're trying to find issues that we all agree on, okay, issues that we can all get behind, largely so that we can build support for some issues in the platform. But, of course, it may be that we find commonality in other things as well. When you first get on there, it seems like any other Facebook group where people are just posting a bunch of stories, and that's because a lot of stuff that goes on in there actually goes on in the chat and some of the other I call it side compartments of the group that are not obvious. So, you know, if you're really not an activist looking to get, if you're not one of those real active activists, okay, if you're just like, I don't want to say a story spammer, but you know what I mean. There are some people that do a very good service by getting stories to all the groups, and we make sure we get those people in early on. And then there's a group of people who are real activists who are actually doing things. And usually from there, there's a couple of what I call side compartments of the group that are actually doing things on the ground. And so that's kind of, like I said, if you join it, at first it kind of gives this first blush of of being any other Facebook group, but don't be fooled by that. You just get in there and start getting in the conversations. And it's not just on Blog Talk Radio. We've got things going on Spree. We've got things going on, as you know, video chat. Okay, you're aware of that. The Santorum end of the campaign has chosen to go with Spree. There's quite a few people who are pretty active on that. But it's not as interactive, in my opinion. But, you know, you do what you can do, and that's about it, right? So that they feel more comfortable in that form, and that's fine. So that's kind of where we're at.
We're great. I like to check out the great page. I wouldn't mind checking that. It's up to you, of course. You know, and you're going to have to say yay or nay, you know, on live here. So
right.
I won't put anybody in that position. So, okay.
Okay,
well,
Robert, I'm going to exit, so but I'll still be listening on, okay?
Okay, well, thank you very, very much, Barbara, for coming in tonight, and I really appreciate all the contributions you've had tonight and in the past on the show. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. Well, Susan, looks like you got the floor.
Well,
you know,
You know what? I kind of wrote a rant the other night, and it goes back to what I was talking about earlier. And could I read that? Maybe it's a little less rambling than
the point. You know, you were going great. No, definitely. Yeah, go ahead. I've got about 5 minutes before I do the closing. So go ahead.
Oh, it's only about 3 or 4 paragraphs, but okay. I guess the thing that irks me the most is how people try to say Obama is an idiot, stupid, etc., and yet I know he is none of those things. They say he has failed, and yet I know he hasn't. He is very intelligent, and he is executing his evil plan perfectly. I see him for what he is, the enemy within. He has no allegiance to this country. He said in his book, if the winds of war blow, I will side with the Muslims. 9/11
Whoa.
Is war, and he has sided with the Muslims. I don't think the average American has the capacity to comprehend what we have truly gotten ourselves into with this guy, and that includes those inside D.C. There are a few that do understand, but as soon as they speak up, they are squashed. Look at Newt, Sarah, and Michelle. Look at all of us who are labeled with unflattering notations, conspiracy theorists, birthers, teabaggers. Those names don't bother me, but most people don't have the fortitude to stand against that kind of evil, dirty, underhanded fight. The progressives are fighting for our minds, and they have done a pretty good job of it. They have taken over academia, the media, and now the White House. They have conditioned our younger generation to accept abnormal as normal, wrong for right, and evil for good. It doesn't matter who gets elected. If it is someone on the right, Romney, or even Newt, they are going to meet with opposition at every turn. The fight is not over in November. The progressives are not going to just throw up their hands and say, you win, we lost. No, they are too entrenched within the system. They use our own system against us as a weapon, even though it was created for good. Now it is used for evil. I don't know the answers. I wish I did. I have found myself wishing just for a silence button, just for a few minutes, just long enough for people to look around and realize what we are doing to ourselves. It's out of control. There will be bloodshed. People are not desperate yet, but as soon as the handouts stop, they will be, and it will be a whole new reality for all of us. And that's it.
Wow, that's powerful. That's powerful. Thank you for sharing that with us.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Well, I've got...
So, don't give up the fight, Bull.
Oh,
it's not over.
Definitely. No, it's not by any stretch. And I've got about 8 minutes left. So I do see a couple people from other shows. If they want to come in to...
And I'm
going to
go ahead
show.
And... Robert, and I want to thank you and everybody for your ear tonight, and I will listen through the computer for the rest of the show.
Oh, great. Thank you very much for coming in, and I hope to hear you again. Hope you come in again.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank
everyone.
You, and have a good night. Take care. Now, as I said, I've got about 7 minutes left, and I do see both the hosts of Tex and Rex, or at least one of them in there, and also the but the host of Newt Now. So if they'd like to call in to chime in, do a quick plug for their shows, I'll let them in as soon as I see the number so they could do so if they'd like that. Go ahead. If not, I'll just go on and thank everyone for who did come in tonight. And it was a long and distinguished list of people who came in. Thank you all, and so I've tried to run up the list. Sammy coming in, Teresa, Susan, Barbara, Sammy, Roger, coming in. I really appreciate everybody, who's come in, everybody who's participated
in the chat. That's an even longer list. I just want to say thank you to all. Now, as I mentioned earlier, late in a few moments here, I'm going to be playing the ending song, and that's by Aubrey Ashburn, and she has agreed to and said she would like to do an interview on this show on probably one of my Wednesday or Thursday night show. I'm pushing for suggesting a Thursday night show, you know, because one of her interests is in environmental protection, which my Thursday night show coverage. We have not picked a date yet. I'm waiting for a response from her, and I'm looking forward to it. So hopefully, you know, I'll hear from her soon. I can get an exact date on when she'll come, and you guys can actually hear the voice. Well, you hear the voice in the song, but actually can hear her actually, you know, speak and talk to us. You know, the voice behind who you hear on my closing show. But anyway, I've got a couple minutes before that, so I will suggest once again if you could go to the website for Barnes Logic Political Talk, and you can find that on the homepage of my Blog Talk Radio homepage, and you go to the About the Show, and if you go to the bottom of it, of that page, you will see a link that is to the Conservative Conversation, and there you will also see you will see the Mark Prasik Show, and you also will see Charlotte Dively's, and you'll see Sammy's. Rex and Tech Show is also on Blog Talk Radio. They're very new. So I don't have a link to their homepage as of yet, but that I believe will be coming. So I want to, you know, of course, talk to them further about it. But their show is on Saturday, so you can't go to the Conservative Conversation link to see when they're on, but you can see their show on Friday and Saturday evenings from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. So once again, I'm going to play the ending song. Thank you very much, everyone, for coming. Take care, and I look forward to seeing you again. And please enjoy the music. Take care, and thank you very much for coming.